For those who don't know me, my name is Felicia. Hi, everybody. I've been on a prayer journey for a while. And from the beginning of this journey, the Lord has just basically showed me personally the power in prayer, individually as well as corporately. And so my heart is that the body of Christ would just understand that we're not weak, but through prayer, we have the opportunity to work with the Lord and we can see change come. And so that's what I just want to try to get across to as many people as I can, personally as well as corporately. So one of the things that we do, Saturday mornings at our church, IHOP EG, we have prayer sets. And so they each run about 2 hours. So we, the worship team and I, we have a 6 a.m. prayer set every Saturday morning. And it's been going for about 5 years, I think. So we get up from 6 to 8 and we pray. And I can say that each week has been different. The Lord has really been sharing things with us. And so it's not boring. And that's the other thing. A lot of people say when you pray it's boring and this and no, when you're really in the Lord's presence, it's exciting. Because you hear what he's saying to you and you're like, wow, he said that. Okay, yes, Lord. You know, and it will draw you back again and again to hear what he has for you. So so we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and what I felt that I wanted to share with you were some practical things of what the Holy Spirit, how he communicates to us and what we should be doing. And okay, so what I want to talk about is the walk of the believer. I pressed the button, thank you. So, let's go to Ephesians 5. Verse 15. And when I was praying, asking the Lord what I should talk about, this is all he gave me in the beginning, was Ephesians 5, 15. And so I'm looking and I'm like, okay. But, so I'm reading from the Amplified. So it says, look carefully, then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Let's go down to verse, read all the way to 18. So verse 16 says, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And it says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. And so we're talking today about the walk of the believer. And so what the Lord wants to say to us today is, look carefully how you're walking. Are you walking according to what he's asking you to do? Are you walking according to what you think you should be doing? Or you just have no direction at all? And so from there, let's go to John 14:16. And it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever." And then in verse 17, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to his heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. For you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you." And verse 18 says, "And I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, hopeless. I will come back to you." And so when I was saying this, I read something, and it was saying that when Jesus said, "I won't leave you as orphans," he was saying, as a teacher, I'm not going to just drop you, and now you have to fend for yourself. I'm going to leave you somebody who can continue to teach you while I'm away. And this person is a person who knows the truth, because he is directly from the Father. And so he can't lie to you. Right? And so as Bob said, so what's our place? Our place is to believe what he says to us and obey the commandments. So like he said, I was obedient today so far. So let's go on to John 15:26. And it says, again, "But when the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes, proceeds from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me." Amen. And because he's testifying of him, he said, "Then you will be my witnesses." So he is doing two things for us. He's helping us walk, and he's helping us build a relationship, so when the people see us, we'll be a witness that the Lord is alive and well. So I was reading, and Jesus was telling the disciples not to be afraid because he was leaving, but the Father would send another comforter. So again, I looked up Greek too. Okay, so parakletos, which is made up from two words, right? Para and kletos. But what stuck out to me was the word para. And so para means alongside, being of near proximity, or being very close to someone or something else. But this morning when I was going over my notes and I saw a para, the Lord brought out to me paralegal.
That's good.
Right? And so a paralegal knows pretty much everything the lawyer does because she's with them. The only thing, she's not trying the case. But she's the one who writes the paperwork and knows all the legal terms. So I said, wow. So he was saying that the Holy Spirit is called alongside you. He's near you. He's very close to you. And he, like, very close to you. And which brought me to the thing of, I was sharing with my husband, and I would always say when I was, like, frustrated or whatever, I'm by myself. I'm always by myself. Everything, I have to decide by myself, by myself. And one day the Lord stopped me, and he was like, "You're not by yourself. So stop saying that." Right? He said, "Because I am with you. I'll be with you all the time. So you stop saying you're by yourself. Because when you say you're by yourself, that's when you make those choices. Because you're frustrated. And so now you're going to be like, oh, I can do it myself. Next thing you know, you're in trouble. Next thing is like, okay, let me pray now." You know? And so One of the examples they were saying, it was like when two people are close in this way, they profoundly affect each other to the point of sharing the same attitudes, feelings, personality traits, habits, and gestures. So when I read that, I said, wow, isn't it amazing that twins, when they are born, they act, they pick up all those same gestures to, sometimes they'll say, we're now married and separated, but I know when my twin went through this, and I know when my twin went through that. So it's, they were, but because they were in the womb together, they picked up gestures and attitudes. And so it says, be filled in the spirit. So what's he saying? Pick up the spirit's attitudes. Pick up his feelings, his personality traits, habits, and gestures. And so you're like, oh, okay, I'm getting this thing, right? And so the supporting scripture to that would be 2 Timothy 1:13. And what they're talking about was Paul talking to Timothy. And he was saying to him, you know, we've been walking together, I've been training you, and now that basically I'm in prison, it won't stop here because I trained you to go forward. And so as they see you, they'll still know, because they'll see your attitudes and gestures that I taught you, and they'll understand, you know, that you're coming in the same gospel that I was preaching. And so, you know, he wants us to be that, in that place where we would be, oh, I know who you are. And sometimes you do know. You can tell when you're around certain people who they've been with. You know, because of their attitudes and gestures and things, right? And we have a thing with our friends who we've been in the, you know, ministry and friends together for years. And I always say to them, if you don't know Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, when they pray in the spirit, it's a certain way that they pray. So when you're in around other believers and you hear them praying, you're like, they were sitting under Hagin. It's like, you could tell they were sitting under Hagin, and they learned how to pray like he prayed, you know, because it comes out. And so in 2 Timothy 1:13, it says, hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching that you have heard from me in all faith and love, which are for us in Christ Jesus. And it says, 14, guard and keep with great care the precious and excellently adapted truth, which has been entrusted to you by the help of the Holy Spirit, who makes his home in us. And so we want the attitudes, the feelings. And you know, that is so important, that the Holy Spirit is the one. How many times have we read the love chapter? And we like, I got it, I got it, I got it. And then you get out the door, you like, I ain't got it. I gotta go back in there.
Our
job. Yes, right?
Our job.
So now we can say, Holy Spirit, I am so connected to you. I am so close to you. Help me. Help me love the way you're saying to love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's good.
Help me. And so this was just the example of what Paul was saying to Timothy. He says that the instructions that you heard from me, and this is 2 Timothy 2:2, which you have heard from me long, along with many witnesses, he says to him, transmit it, entrust it as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. So this is the importance that we need the Holy Spirit. And so what they were saying also is, that the Holy Spirit has come alongside of us now to assist us on our daily affairs and bring to reality the reality of Jesus. So there's two things he's called to do. Help us in our daily affairs and to bring the reality of Jesus. So, I want to share just a little bit how I feel like this is very important in this season that the Lord is saying, that I want you to understand and learn how to involve me in your daily affairs. Because I feel most of us are mature enough where when it comes to the things of the Lord, we pretty much have trained ourselves to hear his direction and hear his voice. But then we kind of separate it from our daily life. And so a prime example, I come home and it's Sunday. I have a habit because we have a lot of cars and our driveway is around the corner from my house. So I don't like to drive the car around the corner. I want to park it in front of the house. So on the weekend, with all our cars home, is no room for my car. So I'll turn it around and park it across the street in front of my neighbor's house. I do this all the time. So I get out the car on Sunday, clear as day. The Holy Spirit says, move your car. I say, I am tired. Nothing ever happens. I mean, it's Sunday. It's been there all weekend. I'm gonna take a nap. I'll move it when I get up. Well, this Sunday, I am sound of sleep. My son calls me because one of his friends said, Ma, somebody hit your car. And now they have drove off. I don't know who hit my car. And I'm sitting there like, oh my God. I can't even get upset because I didn't obey him. I didn't obey him. So now what happens? Because I didn't move my car, and it could have been, maybe he didn't tell me to park it in front of your house. Maybe if I would have moved it up just a little bit. I don't know. But because I reason, what? This, I do this all the time. I don't need to move my car. Nothing ever happens. It's been across the street like this forever. I'm going to take a nap. I'll move it when I get up. Now, what do you have to do? Pay out your pocket to get your car fixed. So when we don't listen to the directions of the Holy Spirit, it might cost you money. It definitely costs you wasted time. So, you know, so as I'm learning, and you, another thing was I had an incident where I was supposed to do something. And I delayed doing that too. And the next thing you know, now I got to pray and ask the Lord, help me, help me, help me. I should have listened, but please be merciful. Help me, God. You know, so it's like he wants us to walk this out in our daily lives, right? And so let's go to John 16:13. Okay, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole, full truth. He will not speak of his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come and what will happen in the future. So we go back to my car. The Father said, Felicia's car is about to get hit. Tell her to move it. So I'm going to translate it to you, Felicia. Move your car. I'm going to translate back to you. I'll do it later. Is he going to argue with me? No, because he gave me the truth. He told me what he needed to say, and now it's on you to listen or don't. So, so I have been learning. When he speaks, he's telling the truth. He's not lying. So why would I second guess you? Yes, he is telling the truth.
Yeah.
So I have to believe it. Whether, unless, you know, sometimes we might think we hear and maybe we miss it. But at least start training yourself to hear the voice, the Spirit of God speaking to you, so you can move forward. And so I was like, oh my goodness. So it says that now, this is what I thought was good. Now, in this scripture, I believe the word show is in there, and John 16:13. And so they were saying in the Greek, it is O-D-E-G-O. Edigo. Edigo. Okay. Which means a guide who shows a traveler the safest course through unknown country. Yes, through the safest course through unknown country. Now, are we born again?
Yes.
Are we citizens of heaven?
Yes.
Are we ambassadors of Christ?
Yes.
So do we know this land? Not really. So the Holy Spirit is the one who will give us safe passage through this unknown country. And so the Holy Spirit is our guide. He wants to show us the precise route to take so we can successfully reach the place God has put in our hearts. And I feel like many of us, the Lord has given us dreams, visions, and things, and we're saying, yes, Lord, I want to do it. But then we start calculating ourselves.
Yeah.
How do I get it done? What do I need to do? And, you know, the Lord is like, but you didn't ask me.
Amen.
You didn't ask me what to do, how to do it. So what do? We spend a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of resources doing things. Then we burn ourselves out. Then what happens? Doubt and unbelief comes in. Lord, maybe you didn't tell me to do this. So I'm going to put it down. And then what he'll do, he'll let you sit on it for a little while. It'll come back to you again.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, okay. So now I'm going to try it again a different way. And come back to the same thing. It's not for now. Okay, maybe I should support somebody else in the vision. And you know, and sometimes my husband laughs at me because I hear something sometimes on Sunday service. And I'll say to him, I hear this. You go tell him. And he looks at me, he's like, why am I going to tell him? You tell him. I said, I think they'll listen to you. You tell him. So he's like, I'm not going to tell him. And so now I'm sitting there like, okay, now I'm going to go. So he said that the Holy Spirit's ministry is to get us safely to our God-ordained points of destination. And so his ministry is to get us safely to our God-ordained points of destination. And some of chapters and verses you could look up on your own was John 11, 1 through 11. And then 11 through 45. Yes. Luke 4, 29 and 30. And then John 8, 59. And then John 10, 39. And in all of those places, it was saying how the Holy Spirit led Jesus. He led him here. He led him there. Yes. The first one was John 11, 1 through 11, verse 1 through 11, and then John 11, 11 through 45. The next one would be Luke 4, verse 29 and 30, and then we have John 8, verse 59, and then John 10, verse 39. And so these were when the Holy Spirit came and would lead Jesus through his life mission that he had to do. So one would be, you know, when he called them out of the wilderness. And it says, No. Let me read this one. Okay.
No.
You're good. That's when Jesus will lead them out the wilderness. The Holy Spirit will take you places. So, and then the other thing was, it said, which I thought was very good, in Acts, the Holy Spirit constantly guided people through hard and difficult territory. And it said, he warned the early church in advance about famines and other trials. And so, and one story that kind of stood out to me that I'll just talk about briefly was when Paul was on the ship and he got arrested and he had to travel. And so he told them, sirs, I believe today is going to be a terrible storm and we might not make it. And so it said that the captain and other people on the ship said, we're going anyway. And so they felt that they knew how to navigate the seas. Why? Because this is my job. This is what I do all the time. So how are you going to tell me, and you know, a prisoner, how to get across the waters? And so he said to him, okay, you don't want to listen to me? Okay, fine. Right? So now what happens? The angel of the Lord comes and says, Paul, tell the people that they need to stay on this boat. You're going to lose the ship, but as long as you stay on the boat together, you'll make it to the other side. So now they are going through this storm. They got to throw stuff overboard. They about to kill the prisoners so they don't escape. And because they didn't listen. And he said, no. He said to stay on this ship with me. As long as you stay with me, you're fine. And so I believe this is why the Lord is saying, you're in the last days, not to be fearful, but to heighten your hearing. So when I tell you something, you will move when I tell you to move. And it's not going to be a big thing, you know, and it's just like how we train our children, right? So the Lord is patient with us because, you know, when they're smaller, you'll say what? Don't touch the stove, it's hot. They look at you like, what? Don't touch the stove, it's hot. So a little bit, they'll go here. I said, don't touch the stove, it's hot. But what do? Next thing you know, you let them. Okay. They, ow, hot. Yes, it's hot. Don't touch it. Right? So, and that's how the Lord is saying, I'm training you. So now he said, Felicia, move your car. I don't want to move my car. Okay. So now next time, if you say anything about that car, oh, okay. Anything. Yes, Lord, I will do this, you know? So that's what I wanted to share with you today, that we would just, in the last days, and I know we hear this all the time, but I was sharing with my husband this morning, I was like, when he talked about the last days, what did he say? Men would be lovers of themselves, the children would be rebellious against their parents. So we're in that. And so you need to know where to go and what to do. And you need to be training your family also. Listen, and you know, and I used to say it to my children all the time, I'm not going to be with you all the time. So you need to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit. So if you hear him say, don't go here, then you don't go. You know, and so because today things are just so wicked. You know, and things are happening that you never thought would be going on. You know, and for those that aren't believers, it is their life. That's how they live. You know, and so I just wanted to share that with you, and I hope that blessed you today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.